Thank you for tuning in to Cross and Crown Baptist Church. For more information about our church and service times, check out www.crossandcrownbaptist.org. We invite you to follow along in your Bibles and open your hearts to the preaching of God's Word.
Following is difficult. I know that many of our church were actually driving down to Pensacola last week, relatively about the same time we were. And I always think it's fun if we can all caravan. At least I used to think that. Caravanning just sounded so fun years ago when we were traveling. I actually drove from Pensacola, Florida to Stratton, Maine, 32-hour drive, caravanning with people. That's where I learned my life lesson. You can't really caravan with people very far because they all have different dietary needs, like fudge at Bucky's, and they have Dunkin' stops, and then you have to have your 30-minute after Dunkin' stop, and all of these different stops. And we were traveling with one group one time, and oh my goodness, they were on a different planet as far as the way that they traveled on the interstate. They said, we will do the minimum speed. Oh my goodness. I was just like, I'm going to die. You know, what would have normally taken me 6 hours took 12. We got to stop. I should have known. They were at that point in life of retirement. They were just like, we're just coasting through life, you know? And I'm like, I got to get there tomorrow. And 32-hour drive. Whew. So we told them, we said, we love you. May the Lord's blessings be upon you. See you. And we took off. So I learned. Sometimes we've actually used CB radios to try to connect together. This is before cell phones. And so we were like, breaker 19, do you want to stop at the next exit? Sure. Okay. But what does the next exit mean? For me, it means the next coming one. In some people's minds, the word next means not this one, but the next one. And so you get communication issues. It's just really hard to follow together. And following the Lord, we are all doing that. We all want to, but we're at different speeds and different experiences. And we're listening to the Lord. We are desiring to trust Him. We are wanting to cleave unto the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength and get victory. And yet there's one more thing. One more thing, what it means to follow God. And that is what the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 8. Look with me in verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. One of the clear instructions from our Lord, that when we follow God, it's going to include cross bearing like Jesus. Let's pray, ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for this time when we can study your word together. And we do pray for your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. We thank you that you work in ways that we never understand. We thank you for working in the circumstances of our lives. We are here today because of what you've been doing. We thank you for the grace and mercy abundant in our lives. There are no mistakes with you. We thank you for the providence that you have done and how you've motivated in our experiences and our thoughts and how you have urged us. And we're here today and we're seated at your throne at the footstool asking you, by your mercy and grace, would you impart to us something that'll change our lives? We need you. Life is short. The journey is difficult. We need your help. We pray, God, that you would help us in this hour. Move among us and speak to us. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. We do have a very loving, mighty God. He's ready to pour out blessings into our life. He promises not only a good life, but the abundant life, life more abundantly. He has been our comfort in my suffering. He's been the light in my darkness. He's been that haven of rest when I've gone through some dark storms. He grants to us wisdom when we really don't know what to do. When we're weak, he comes with compassion. And when we have been in a rebellion and we repent of that, he extends to us mercy. What an amazing God we have. Amen. He has given grace in every need. I at times feel like David, the psalmist, and say, he restores my soul. He's soothed my sorrows. He's tenderly cared for me with every different care that I've experienced. He provides my food and a lot of it. He's given finances to meet our needs. He meets our physical needs. And he's done even more than that. He's met our emotional needs over and over again. God is a wonderful, loving God. And he's done so much for us, and there's yet so much more God wants to do for us. He is an amazing God. But in his infinite wisdom, somewhere along the way, according to his great plan for our lives, he has included something that necessarily we did not want, we didn't ask for, we didn't think was helpful or beneficial. And God in his mercy to us has given us this thing called a cross. We don't usually thank him for it. We actually despise it. And God says, I give it to you because I love you. That's hard. That's hard to learn, this last most difficult step about following God. But Jesus said it here in the Bible in Mark 8:34. If you will come after me, deny yourself and take up your cross. A couple things about this I want to point out to you. A very simple message from God's Word today as we look through the next few verses. And just some things to note. Did you realize that the cross comes when you receive Christ as your Savior? The cross comes with salvation. It's not sometime down the road. It's at that point in your life when you trust Jesus as your Savior. Along with that, not come all the glories of heaven to come. But there's a cross in your life that he lays upon your back. And there are different aspects to that, and it takes on different forms. But yeah, there's a cross, and it comes with your salvation package. That doesn't sound like love, does it? But it is because of God's love. Because through that cross, we're going to learn to follow him even more intimately. It comes with this salvation. He gives it to all of his children. Look with me at verse 34 again. Whosoever, that's every one of us, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up what? His cross. Every Christian has a cross. And your cross may be extremely, vastly different from every other cross for everyone you see around you. Yours is just custom made. And part of growing and maturing as a Christian is realizing that everybody has a cross, but you seem and feel like you're the only one that has one. You know why? Because you're probably the only one with your cross, and you are. But they also have their cross, and you don't see it. And you wonder, oh, wow, they must have a great life. Maybe they have tapped into tremendous grace from God, and they're getting through life carrying that cross. And you don't see that. You don't see how God's working in people's lives. But you know your cross, and it has become difficult to bear. But remember this, every one of us, every single individual, the moment you got saved, if you're a child of God, you have been given a cross. The cross comes with that salvation. You think about different great Christians throughout history, and I think of Amy Carmichael. She's a little girl in England, and she wanted blue eyes. All of her friends that she thought were real pretty had blonde hair and blue eyes, and she was just all disappointed because she had brown hair, brown eyes. And she said, what am I going to do? And she was just feeling bad about it all the time. And she finally, as a mature adult, she grew up and decided she was going to serve the Lord. She went to India, and there in India, she stood out because her skin was so light colored. And so she said, I know what I can do about that. I can tan. And I can actually put on darker makeup, and I can do whatever it takes, and I can actually fit in with these people and be accepted. And you know, when other people tried to do that, they were immediately identified as being a foreigner and someone who was there to take advantage of them. And they never fit in because the people, the nationals there rejected them. Why? Because they had blue eyes. And she was welcomed in, and that was how she began a lifelong ministry. But I challenge you to look up Amy Carmichael's works and read the literature, the tremendous books that she has written. I know personally people that have suffered physically greatly in this life with diseases, and they have read Amy Carmichael's books because she was so racked with pain, and throughout her life she was bedridden, and she could not even take care of the children in her orphanage that she had. And she was there and could do nothing but cry out in pain, but call upon the Lord for mercy and for grace. And then in her time, she could write. And boy, the beauty of her writing, which brought great glory to God. And it stands as an example today. Here's a person that bore a tremendous cross of physical pain, but found grace in it. And she followed God with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amy Carmichael, tremendous story. The poetry that she wrote, the prose. There are those that have dealt with tremendous poverty. They have been so poor by our standards. And you look at their lives and God has blessed them and helped them to make it through. There are those that have struggled along the way with tremendous responsibilities that they never asked for. Perhaps it's a child that was born with disabilities. I know of a family that their daughter was traveling down the road at too high of a speed without her seatbelt. She crashed into the back of a semi. She's quadriplegic. And she has had to live in the wheelchair for years and years. Friends of our church, I know, probably listening right now, also in similar situation. A cross to bear they never thought that they would ever have. And there are these situations that God has customized just for us that have allowed into our life. And they are tremendous responsibilities. I know of evangelist Tom Williams with a tremendous life of ministry and evangelism. Hundreds of people coming to Christ as Savior under his ministry. And his wife got cerebral meningitis. And she became a vegetable. And for years and years and years, along in his ministry, he had to travel from church to church caring for his wife. A cross to bear that we would never, ever have anticipated, but God has this custom made for us. Now, let's remember, if you're thinking about the cross that you have right now, don't just say it's all of God, because sometimes we have a little bit to deal with the cross that we've kind of... we're to blame for it, right? There's things in my life, in our lives, we have to bear. And you know, I'm not just going to blame God. God, you gave me this. You know, I'm to blame for part of it. I'm in this situation and I must bear this and I must deal with it the rest of my life because of my issues. But tell you what, God has mercy and grace to help me with that, because maybe there's someone else there that has a similar style of cross in their life and they can look and they can see God's mercy and grace in your life. And you are finding God's help in that ministry as you bear that cross. But notice in verse 34, look with me, we're still on point one here. Whosoever will come after me, here's the will. Whosoever will. Does that ring a bell? Whosoever will. We sing about that in our hymns, and we're primarily talking about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, right? For the Bible says in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 13, as we look through the scriptures there in the Romans road, the Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? And there's no denying anybody, whoever trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior is pardoned from their sin. They have received the birth of eternal life from God above. Praise the Lord. Whosoever will. But there's also another whosoever will. Where is it? It's right here in Mark 8:34. You've been given this cross. But God says, you need to pick it up. You need to carry your cross. It is not really not an option, but he does give you this. He says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Take it up. It comes with your salvation. There are people who do not stop and pick up their cross, and they never really are quite truly following Jesus. If you're going to be a follower of God, It includes bearing a cross like Christ did. But the cross includes sacrifice as well. That's what crosses do. Look at verse 34. Whosoever will come after me. Part two here. Let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. That's can't be said in any more plain terms than that, right? Because when it comes down to following the Lord, it's not all just going to be, let's hop on the bus and let's take a trip and there we go. No, it's going to be your walk, your journey. Talking with one person this week, last week, this morning I was talking to them and said, last week I went out and did a run. Oh, really? How far did you get? Well, I was only able to run for the first 50 miles, and then I walked for the next 20. I got 70 done because I was going for 24 hours. And at 50 miles, my ankles were swollen and bigger than my knees. And I'm like, I will now pray for you to be blessed with brains. I'm just so jealous. I don't have that physique. I don't have that willpower. I don't have that ability. Wow. But in your journey, you're going and you're going and you're going. And after a while, you're just like, oh, this is everything I don't like. You need to deny yourself, right? I want to stop. I can't. I'm on a job. I'm on a ministry. I've got a mission to complete. I can't stop. I have this cross that I must bear. I cannot lay it down. I must deny self, and self goes counter to this all the time because I have that natural self instinct of self-preservation, don't you? We're born with it. I preserve my interests. I have a career. I have ambitions. I have this financial integrity that I want to make sure that I have, and I want my world to be the way I want it. But Jesus talks about that. Turn over one page to Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, look with me at verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. Okay, I wonder how far he ran. He ran as far as he needed to meet with Jesus. I don't know if it was 50 miles or 70 miles, but when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God." And it's actually a statement saying that he is God at that point. "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he said, answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." I'm good, man. I'm good. Just give me the pass. Give me the badge. I get the ticket. I can go to heaven, right? Notice verse 21. And underline these words and take it true to your heart. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. If there's anything that we really seek in life, it's not all just money and security and all that. We really are looking for someone to love us. And to have the God of creation, our wonderful Lord Jesus, is recorded in Scripture, where he looked at him individually among all the disciples that were there. And since the Bible points this out, I believe there was a moment of that wonderful, sweet fellowship, that intimate relationship where Jesus looked at him eye to eye and said with compassion in his heart, "I love you. I love you. I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to give you the one thing that's going to help you love me." What is it? A cross. Amen. That cross that I lovingly give you is what you're going to have to deny yourself and take up to follow me. Notice verse 21. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing you lack. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." Now, Jesus is in no way saying that you have to give up all your money in order to get to heaven. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, if you really want to follow me, he looked at his life and he pierced, his piercing eyes went into the heart and soul of this rich young ruler and saw there was something there that was between him and God. And God, Jesus basically said, I'm going to point it out. I'm going to put my finger on it. I'm going to tell you what you are standing between really following me. And you know what it is? You're willing to follow me part way. But if you really want to follow me, what's standing in the way is your money. If you can take up the cross, deny yourself, then you'll be following me. And for some of us, it's a different kind of cross. And this was this man's cross in that way. And that's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. It means I took up my cross that God made for me. And I accepted it. When you take up the cross, that means you are denying self. You're dying to self. Paul goes on to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Praise the Lord. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the grace of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The cross is love. And we say, well, Jesus died on the cross. He showed his love. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his sin, for his friend. And Jesus quotes that back to us and says, yeah, I lived it. Will you now take up your cross? No greater love hath man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Jesus looks at us and says, are you my friend? If you really want to follow the Lord, it includes cross bearing. It comes with salvation. It is a sacrifice. Thirdly, if we turn back to Mark, let's read on. Mark 8, 37. 36 and 37. The cross is the epitome of suffering. Verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and ends up losing his own soul? Emptiness, the end of this life. You have nothing and you stand before God spiritually bankrupt, and God says, why should I let you into heaven? And you say, well, I have a lot of money. It's like the guy that he thought he was going to make sure that he took all of his money with him and left none for his family. And so he instructed that upon his death, he'd have all of his gold put in suitcases and buried with him. And, you know, so to speak, in a funny story here, he appeared in heaven and he was stood at the gate and he had these bags of gold. And the angels looked and said, hey, you can't bring that in here. And he said, "What? Well, why not? I saved and I brought it on with me to heaven. What's in there? And he opened them up and showed all that gold. And the angels looked at him and said, you brought pavement? Why would you do that? You know, because your focus was on something that means nothing in heaven. Right. Bankrupt spiritually. And we have nothing to offer God. He doesn't need our gold. He wants our soul. And he says, what have you done with my son, Jesus Christ? Did you trust him as your personal savior? If you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior, there is no other option. You cannot go to heaven. The other option is you must have an eternity separated from God in heaven forever. And the Bible teaches a very serious, serious truth that there's a place called hell, prepared for the devil and his angels, but has been expanded to accommodate the people who have never trusted Jesus as their Savior. Just like the Ark of Noah was built, not to house the animals alone, but for thousands and thousands of people, and they would not. They would not take advantage of what God had provided, that means of salvation. And when we think of the cross, Jesus died on that cross for us. And by the way, the cross was invented by the Roman Empire to be the most excruciating, painful death sentence ever. Where do we get the word excruciating? We reserve that for the most severe, painful situation, right? It basically comes up of two words. X means out of, crucius, which is the cross. When you say, I'm in excruciating pain, really? Honest people, I hear this all the time. How is your pain rated on a scale of 1 to 10? It's 20! No, come on. The most excruciating pain is crucifying pain, like you're on the cross. That is the most painful pain, and that's a 10. Wow. We know that when Jesus was saying, take up thy cross and follow me, he wasn't just saying, pick up the convenient little thing that might be an annoyance to you sometimes. He was saying, I've given you something to carry in life. You need to accept it as from my hand and carry it for me. And in doing so, you deny yourself and show that you love me. If we're to follow him, that's what we do. Now, there are different, I don't know what your cross is. I may assume what your cross might be, but you have a cross. And you and God know what it is. But there are times when it just becomes too heavy. It really honestly gets heavy, doesn't it? Ira Stanfill was a man who passed away, I believe, in 1993, but born in 1914. And he was responsible for writing a lot of beautiful gospel hymns. And he became a preacher, and he was so blessed by God to be able to write music. He would go to a revival service, and he would just say, okay, if you would like to have a song written, just go ahead and write a very interesting title down on a piece of paper and hand it to me. And he would say by the end of the service, he would have a song written. Some of our songs that we sing today, I just jotted down a few of them. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. How about, maybe you heard this as a child. I heard, happiness is to be forgiven. He wrote that. There's room at the cross for you. I know who holds tomorrow. These are beautiful songs. One of them, though, I've never seen in a hymn book, but I heard sung by a musical evangelist as he came around when I was a teenager. And so this goes back a long, long way. But the Lord put it on my heart as I was studying this passage. And it's just so catchy. I had to look up the words. And I want to read them to you. I traveled down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim. The morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. There are many other verses as well there, but the message that he gave, he obviously had experienced that personal relationship where he was following the Lord and having to bear his cross. Look at verse 38 of Mark chapter 8. The Bible goes on to say, verse 37, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. The cross is not only suffering, the cross brings shame. Jesus gave us more information about that. What is the shame the cross brings? Back up to Matthew, if you would. Back up to the book of Matthew in chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27. Here's a passage that we're quite familiar with. And we like to refer to it quite often because we think about God loving us. And we usually just look at verse 29 and 30 and 31. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father knowing? He cares for sparrows, right? And we sing about that. Verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Wow! For some of us, he knows there's more to count than there is with others, right? He's got them all numbered. I know that my wife, I don't know what the numbers are, but there's a lot of numbers sometimes on the floor, and I vacuum them up. And just like, wow, yeah. I thank the Lord that I usually don't find them in my sandwich, though. You know, if they're short, then I don't say a word. But if hairs are everywhere. God knows about every single one. Now, that's just not a funny saying. That's not just a fanciful thing. God knows exactly the number of the hairs on your head. They're all numbered, right? We love these verses. That means he knows us. He loves us. And because God loves us, let's read the whole context, not just these verses we like to pull out, beginning in verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. Okay, he's giving us a command here. Whatever you get from Jesus, from God, in your closet as you're reading the Word of God, God says, I want you to share that out there in the light. What you hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. Spread the word. Now, when you do this, you are going to get threatened. Because people don't like God. They don't like hearing about their sin. They don't want to change. And when they hear this, you may be threatened. You may actually be under persecution. You may be killed, right? And God says in verse 28, when you're doing this, preaching the word, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, for some strange reason, most people think that means, oh, the devil's going to destroy you. And no, that's not referring to the devil at all. That's referring to God. He's the one who can destroy you. And so make sure you fear him. Fear God, and when you are being persecuted because you're standing for your faith, just realize this. If I back down now, then God is not pleased. I might temporarily please these people around me in this world, but God's not pleased. So you better fear him instead of fearing the people around you. And that's when he says, look, you're more valuable than a sparrow. He knows the hairs of your head. Verse 31, fear ye not, therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. Let's read on. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You know, there's a shame on earth when it comes to standing for the Lord. But pick up that cross. Pick up that cross. See, the main thing about the cross that God's given in your life is not your pain, your finances, the personal relationship issues. The main thing that supersedes them all is this relationship with God where you tell the world about him. That's a cross that the world condemns and is full of shame. But he wants you to testify of him. Jesus said in John 15, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Write it down. But a lot of people don't understand this relationship with God and this following God so closely. But Paul had understood it. Let me read to you from Galatians chapter 5. Paul writes these to the churches of Galatia in chapter 5, verse 24. He says this, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're going to be Christ and follow him, it's going to mean taking up your cross, denying self, and dealing with that shame of the cross. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, he continues on. He says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now, this takes on tremendously deep meaning. That cross that you've been given, that you must pick up and deny self when you pick it up. You die to self and follow the Lord with this cross. When you take that cross, you are crucifying yourself to the world. And the world doesn't understand. But God does. What is that cross that's in your life? Are you willing to stand up and speak up for the Lord? The world is desperately in need for the light of the glorious gospel of Christ.
Amen.
They need to see it in your life that God is alive and well and giving grace. They need to hear it from you. It may bring some shame. Let me tell you what. The shame that the world gave to me through these years has been so little. It hurts every time. It doesn't get easier. Honestly, tell you, when I was 12 years old, and my parents didn't have a good, strong church to start me earlier, but at 12 years old, I started going in door-to-door and inviting people to meet the Savior and handing out tracts. And on the very first door, ridiculed, mocked by classmates my age. What an introduction. There you go. How's that affected me? Oh man, I'm still warped emotionally. I'm still need counseling. It hasn't affected me. In fact, it's done good to make me stronger because I don't fear that. I fear my Lord. And I want to do what's right and follow Him and die to this idea that, someone will not like me. You've got to die to that. Pick up that cross and bear the shame and serve the Lord. And that brings great glory. It brings glory to the Lord. I always thought it very interesting. This weather right now is just like reminds me of summer in northern Maine. Beautiful sunny days, cool crisp nights, and the remote wilderness. And I remember one time I was working in the logging with my dad, and my uncle, my dad's cousin, came over and said, "Hey, I need a buddy to ride with me and help me load and unload supplies to a canoe trip." A friend of his had figured out how to make a lot of money in the summertime and said, "You know what? We're going to get these kids out of high schools, high school age kids, and out of New York City and out of Boston, and they're going to come up here to northern Maine, and we're going to take them on a 6-week canoe trip." Okay, that's a long time. You would never see civilization the entire trip. You can look it up on your maps. Northern Maine is basically very equivalent with central Alaska. Okay, and so there's these Allagash wilderness and waterway, and that you go up there. We drove an entire Suburban and top full of crates of supplies of food and toilet paper and all kinds of necessities. And we drove as far as you could go on paved road for about 3 hours, and then we hit the dirt road. We went over 100 miles on dirt road to get to where they were going to stop by and pick up supplies. We passed Kakaijo, Chesuncook. This is all north of Millinocket, all the Indian country there in northern Maine. And we drove and drove and drove. We finally got there. And there were no cell phones to say, "We'll meet you at a certain time." We just knew we had to be there by noon. And they had to be there by noon. And they were coming. I saw them coming in across the lake. They had been out there for 3 weeks, and they were coming to get resupplied for another 3 weeks. Never seeing any human beings for 6 weeks out there in the wilderness. And they traveled hundreds of miles down the waterways and across the lakes. And I always wondered, what are these little silly little city slickers going to look like? You know, and can you imagine them, their hands all blistered from canoeing and having someone yell at them? I heard the director say, "Hey, we got fresh toilet paper. Remember, only 3 sheets. And I was just like, I wonder how these city slickers are going to do. And can you imagine? And there was boys, it was girls, it was just, and they had to get medical supplies and all these, and we re-outfitted them with all their supplies, and they loaded up, and they talked for a few minutes and enjoyed some snacks, and then they got back in their canoes. It was a lot of canoes, and one man leading all these high schoolers out there for 6 weeks, and they began to row back across the lake. We packed up and took the empty crates, and we drove on back. It was an entire, a very long day for us. We had a ton of dust on those back roads. But I got thinking, out there in the wilderness, if you just got tired of listening to that one man tell you, get up, it's time to go, sun's coming up. And you're just thinking about all the miserable, you know, every time it rains, you know how fun it is to put up a tent in the rain? Okay, and try to cook your food when it's raining. I mean, they had to survive out there by fishing and catching animals. And this, there was a wilderness training trip that those young people would never, ever forget. But can you imagine just if you didn't like the people around you? You can't go anywhere. If you didn't like the leader, you had to follow. And when he said, take up your paddle and follow me, you had to. You would never get where you needed to be without doing so. I'm not going with the gang. I'm sick and tired of him telling me what to do. And you know what? The whole group goes on and there you are alone. Okay? Ooh, it's getting cold. Wait! You know what Satan's really, really, really good at? Coming right up alongside just at the time when you're sick and tired of carrying that paddle and saying, you don't have to go on with the rest of them. You can stay right here at Econo Camp. Oh, we've got hot showers. You can use as much TP as you want. We've got crates of it. Oh, you can get your Cokes and your snacks, and you can come inside and you can have, oh, it'd be wonderful. Satan offers you a million reasons why you need to just stay right where you are and not follow. And that's what we face day by day, brother. Amen. We have to pick up your paddle and carry on. You'll never get where God wants you to be. Pick it up. Lift it up. Carry the cross, despising the shame. And there is set before you rewards in heaven as doing so. You've got to carry on. I think to this day, for those that was some 40 years ago, over 40 years ago that I had that experience, I wonder if they are not even today saying, son, let me tell you about the time. We didn't even have Xbox. We didn't have any, you know, we didn't have cell phone. If the leader had died, we'd be stranded. We totally depended on one man to lead us where we needed to be. And we followed. And let me tell you, we made it. When we get to heaven, some 40 years from now, if the Lord should tarry, what will you say? When those awards are given out for your faithfulness at that marriage supper, the rewards banquet, and someone receives rewards and you receive none, you know why? Because God gave you a cross to bear and you set it to the side because it was uncomfortable. Oh, brother, what is your cross? Pick it up, carry it, and follow the Lord.